As we take a look at the market, of course, we've been talking day number 7 of the government shutdown. China is also on holiday, and that's where we're going to start with today's market trade. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. We're being joined today by Mike Zuzulo. Mike is with Global Commodity Analytics. And the fact that China's on holiday, our government is still in a shutdown, does not give our markets much to grapple on how to trade.
No, it doesn't, Susan. And you've got several things there that we can peel back the onion on. Number one is the shutdown, in my opinion, has brought with it a noticeable drop in volume in the grain futures, CME, which I track every day for both the grains and livestock. We were doing about 1.2 to 1.3 million futures contracts per day as of late last week before the shutdown took hold. And as of Monday, that number dropped to 800,000. So that's something to really keep an eye on. We haven't seen that big of a drop in the livestock so far. There's been a moderate drop, I would say, but it would make sense that since the feeder cattle are getting fresh news about screwworm, that volume would pick up. But I do think that shutdown and the lack of news and the lack of government data is having an impact on algorithmic trading. And you can kind of sense it with how much more quiet the trade seems to be throughout the day. So I think that's number one. Number two would be more to what you're talking about, I think, in that not only are we shut down, but we are also expecting an announcement by the Trump administration that has directly to do with soybean production and some type of security when it comes to financing for the 2026 crop year. We had been told through the Secretary of Treasury Bessin in his interview, and I think Kevin Hassett also talked about it late last week, that there was something coming, maybe even as early as today on Tuesday. But with this government shutdown, you really have to question yourself, is there anything that's going to happen? And it would be, you know, put out. And if the one of the two scenarios that the market, I think, is tapped into is we will get maybe something out of a direct payment for producers, but that direct payment would probably have to be voted on and passed by an act of Congress. Not possible with the shutdown. So it leaves you with U.S.-China trade news, something developing there. As you say, it's very quiet on the other side of the ocean, and it doesn't seem like they really want to work into any kind of an agreement, at least until the APEC meeting between President Trump and President Xi closer to the end of October. That leaves me at least with one feature, and that is the Prime Minister of Canada is here visiting the White House. They had a press conference at lunchtime, Eastern time. They said there may be some more news coming later in the afternoon. I obviously am trying to connect some dots here as an analyst, and I see the two markets that are up the most in agriculture are feeder cattle and canola oil, and that's helped the soybean market out quite a bit today. So is the news we're going to get, does it have to actually do with Canada instead of China? So I think that's one of the key issues that we're going to be talking about after the close. And if we didn't get anything announced on Tuesday, does that mean we pull out premium? Because we're 30 cents off our lows from last week in soybeans right now.
And you know, these markets, Mike, as they look at everything, I mean, they're grappling to any sort of headline that they can get, even if it is, like you mentioned, the potential for those payments today and maybe seeing a push off. What about President Trump's conversation, which I understand was quite long, with Brazil's President Lula taking place yesterday?
Yeah, I think that that is a conversation that probably is very similar to China. I have to go back and remind myself and everybody I talk to and my clients and subscribers that President Xi of China voted in 2012, has been working very aggressively since 2015, especially in Latin America, and he has disrupted our Monroe Doctrine of U.S. control of the Western Hemisphere by building a lot of ports, by taking some control of the Panama Canal, by building the mega port in Chancay, Peru, which became operational last November, and now by building essentially an intercontinental railroad across Brazil that would hook the Atlantic and the Pacific Oceans and bring in a lot of countries that would help him get more copper, soybeans, meat, whatever you want to say in terms of commodities. I think it's safe to say at this point, Susan, China has formulated a new Silk Road. We all know that, but what is the end purpose? I think the end purpose for me and my analysis would suggest they want to be the world exporter of about everything when it comes to raw materials, bulk commodities, and re-export commodities that they refine or process. And so I think this is something we really are starting to wake up to in the United States. In other words, I really don't see much traction with Brazil. I think there's much more traction probably to be had with Argentina, but by cutting their export tax right before we were going to give them $20 billion, I think Argentina really took several steps back with the Trump administration. So that too, I think, is a situation being rebuilt, but I think we're closer on Argentina with working something out than we are Brazil, quite honestly.
What about the lack of the biofuel policy at this point?
That too really weighs, and I think this is one of the options that I was thinking maybe we could get more domestic demand instead of a direct payment. Every single producer that I've talked to and probably that you have talked to do not like direct payments. Obviously, the taxpayers give the agriculture a black eye when they hear about direct payments. We don't want that in agriculture. What we want is more demand. So I would love to see more biofuel demand. Maybe that's where the Canadian situation really lies, is ethanol and cattle and soybean oil, biodiesel. So I'm hoping that's what we get. But I have to say also, as we talk about these big picture things, we made another new record high in gold prices, $4,000 an ounce. We haven't done this since the late 1970s. I just sit here and I think to myself, what are we missing in these markets? Why has gold become such a safe haven at this point? And I think it really does depict the record uncertainty in the financial markets that seemingly Wall Street, to me, is kind of whistling past the graveyard right now.
And finally, what's your takeaway on the demand right now for beef and pork? My understanding in some early readings is we're starting to see that pickup happen once again.
Yeah, we are. And we've seen the boxed beef prices find support. We had a New York Federal Reserve update on inflation and consumer spending. I've seen some more high-frequency data that would suggest that because of Wall Street, the wealth effect, and wealthier people in the middle class who are part of the 401k group, they're not putting money away, they're spending it. And that's helping the beef and the pork demand. Pork has a chink in the armor because of China still, and we see that in the price action. Ever since we saw those new lows on the Dalian exchange about a week or two ago, we are only about $1.20 away from testing the September high in feeder cattle of 367.70, all-time high. I've told clients and subscribers, be ready for the market to try and test the highs the month of October, but also then be ready to really get some floors underneath for the fourth quarter. Again, going back to Wall Street, these record high gold prices, I just want to be protective here in case something really unfortunate would happen in the equities markets and that wealth effect starts to go away in this last quarter of 2025. So I really like the cattle market, what it's done in terms of the cash market holding together and the feeders coming back in the leadership position. But I think we don't want to mess up a good thing, especially with profitable back-end fat cattle markets that we're starting to get back into.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks so much. Mike Zuzulo joining us this afternoon. Mike, of course, is with Global Commodity Analytics. And a quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. That's the Tuesday market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.